This is the story of you, the story that has shaped your day or maybe your entire life, where your story becomes our story, because without you there is no me and no me without you. Tune in each week as we share stories of life, yours and mine. Each episode will feature a special guest who shares with us their own truth. Join us as we uncover just how unique and similar we all are. This is the story of you and of me. I'm Donna Politis, your host. Welcome to My Spoken Truth.
Welcome everybody to My Spoken Truth. I'm here with Jed Machen, and we're sitting in a beautiful cafe in Thessaloniki, Greece. Jed and I met completely randomly yesterday as we were walking down the street downtown, and I have to say I am truly, truly, truly pleased to meet you. We just spent the last half an hour.
Likewise.
Thank you. We just spent the last half an hour talking about amazing life moments and what's brought us here, both of us here to this point. All of you know that I love learning people's stories. That's what this podcast is all about learning people's truths. And as soon as I met Jed, who's going to quietly turn off his phone.
Carry on.
As soon as I met Jed, his bright smile, his happiness, everything came through, and I just knew I wanted him to be my next guest on My Spoken Truth. So, Jed, please tell us a little bit about yourself. I want people to get to know you, where you're from, where you're going, because that's kind of the whole point why you're here on this podcast. You're going somewhere in your red car, all the way to Cape Town, with your red kilt.
Yes.
I'm loving the red theme. So please take it away.
Okay, my name's Jed. I live in a place called Solihull near Birmingham. But I was born in Scotland, and I've always had a passion for being Scottish. It's not really important in the big scheme of things, but it's who I am. It's always hilarious when I'm in my kilt, people say you don't speak with a Scottish accent. I can talk with a Scottish accent, romantic, but that is not who I am. So I think I'm a good advert for diversity. Diversity is who you are, not what people expect you to be. And it's good to challenge people's perceptions. I'm always pleased when people ask me, are you Scottish wearing the kilt, as opposed to being annoyed that people would say that. Why am I doing... I'm travelling in a Citroën Saxo 1.1 from Birmingham. I've travelled 3,200 miles in a car that's 17 years old. It's been an absolutely wonderful journey. Incredible. I knew nothing about this area. Didn't know that Thessaloniki was even near the sea. I thought it was a lake when I first saw the water and then saw ships on it. But that's the way I travel. I very rarely research anywhere. And now I've been through France, Germany, Austria, Slovenia, Croatia, Hungary, Romania, Serbia, Macedonia, Skopje. As the Greeks would say, and Greece. It's been an incredibly wonderful journey. The car has performed absolutely amazingly. I've checked the oil and water twice and not had to do a thing with it. The only spare I'm carrying is a spare air filter. That was for Sudan. I was in Sudan last year and the Sahara Desert is pretty dusty. That was a sensible thing, but everything else I just have to sort out. Why am I doing this? I was asked. Freedom. Freedom is the most freedom you ever get in the world. I know for a lot of people it's scary, and I never forget how privileged I am to be able to travel. It's a real privilege to be able to have the time and the money to travel. I'm always envious of young students who travel on next to nothing, have been traveling for years, and they work their way around the world. It's definitely a privilege. That's the reason, freedom, but I also get amazing. I love people. Get that from my father. He's 85. He's an absolutely wonderful man. Everybody loves my father that meets him. I recently went on holiday with him for 2 weeks in Scotland, where he was born, where I was born. Very, very special. It was a fantastic 2 weeks. He was a great guy to travel with. I've lost where I was. As far as the
sense of freedom.
Yes, so sense of freedom and interest in people. I love people. I was a policeman in England for 25 years. I was always on the street. I never got promoted. I loved the street. I worked in rough areas, apparently. I never considered them rough. I really loved the people that were there. The Iranians, Iraqis, Afghans, Somalians, Nigerians, English, Irish, Scottish. And being a policeman there was it was fascinating. And I loved listening to the people, what they wanted, rather than what society wanted for them. Generally, they got on pretty well. Once you make connections with people, even as a policeman, particularly as a policeman, you make a difference both to yourselves and the community around you. It's really important. My job was easy. Once I gained the trust of people, the job was easy. I sat back and information and intelligence came to me, and that meant we got the weapons to tackle the issues and the problems. When you first go, a lot of people don't trust the police. They've been disappointed or let down by the police over years. Lots of changes. I was there for like 7 years in my last role. I loved the place. The longer, and it was important to be there a long time, because when I first went there, there was guns, lots of drugs, all serious issues. And the way you, I don't say for a minute I resolved them, but the guns and the drugs, and lots of it left and went to other areas because people spoke to me. They weren't frightened of these people anymore. And that's contact, communication.
Well, you probably changed their perspective on how enforcement can work, because you gained their trust, you treated them as fellow humans.
Because to judge, I know when I was showing young officers around, I was just saying, remember, you are not there to judge people. Courts judge people. You're there to collect evidence, and that's a really important thing. And that means the moment somebody's in your face screaming at you and you want to lock him up because you don't like him, that's when it all goes wrong. You have to be able to, what evidence do I need? And you need to step back and decide, am I going to get the evidence, or am I not going to get the evidence? And you need to be able to walk away confidently if you're not going to get the evidence, because you're wasting your time. So I loved it. I liked it. And people are always amazing. The stories, I mean, this is my story, but I love listening to people's stories.
Well, I can just imagine as a police officer how many stories you've heard.
Lots, yeah.
You shared your story with me right before I pressed record, and I was very lucky to have that type of intimate conversation with you about the inner matters of your life and your family life. People always seem very easy and open to sharing their lives with me, and I'm glad that we developed that connection as well. Now, let's go back to what really excites me is where this journey started. You went over that already, how many kilometers and so on, your destination so far. What's next? Where did you start?
Right.
What's next?
I started in Birmingham, sort of near where I live. The reason it all came was that I met this incredible woman last year. I was travelling in Egypt, Sudan, and Ethiopia, and in the middle of Ethiopia, this incredible restaurant called Ben Alaba, I think it's called, run by a Scottish woman, coincidentally. I met an 80-year-old lady, Julia Albin, who was driving from Cape Town to London to have tea with Queen. That didn't happen. In her 20-year-old Toyota, it's not Corolla, something else, South African made. It was 20 years, and it had 230,000 kilometres on the clock then. And I was absolutely stunned. I couldn't believe that anyone who is 80 years of old would get in their car and drive to London, which is literally what, that's the way a journey starts. You just have to do it. Her energy and her passion was incredible. She's a very flamboyant is the wrong word. She's a very fashionable lady, even for 80. And her strength of character is just unbelievable. I met her for 15, 20 minutes, and that's the connection. Sometimes you can meet somebody for 5 minutes, and they have an impact on your life. That definitely happens, and that happens a lot when you travel. So time doesn't really matter. So I met her for 15, 20 minutes, and he did a vlog or whatever, and I followed her all the way through to London, and she got to London. Incredible lady, and then she turned around and went to go take the car back to Cape Town. My intention with my car was always to leave her in Cape Town for a dear friend, Derek from Botswana, who's going to be really disappointed that it's not going to be in Cape Town.
Right, so your plans are changing a bit.
Oh, yes, in any journey, they always change. I didn't make a route, I changed the route frequently, depending on where people were. That's the nature of the way I travel. That's why there's not much point in planning and researching. You could spend days researching, you don't even go there. So there's no point. I'm very happy. I always rely on local people to look after me. And this is all the countries I go to. Don't pick the local drunk in the bar. That's not a good idea. But listen to local people. They do care about you. And that brings me really to my kindness theme as well.
I was just going to ask you about that.
I had this, I don't have many good ideas, but I thought this was quite a good one. As I was driving away from Birmingham, I'd sort of toyed with the idea of kindness as a theme for drawing my first blog. I've done a blog this time, and I wasn't very, well, I'm getting better at it. But I'm not that confident with IT. And I wanted something to draw it all together. And everywhere I've travelled in the world, and I've travelled a lot, is kindness. People don't believe me that you can go to Iran and Sudan and strong Muslim countries and be shown real kindness. You can, it's happened to me, and I'm evidence that it does happen. People in the world generally are wonderful. That's my belief. Everywhere I've travelled, I've always found kindness. I've rarely found any issues. And that's so. I've been videoing people all the way through this trip, and I will continue to do so all the way to Cape Town. And I do up to 2 minutes with them, talking about introducing yourself if they want, about kindness. And I've got some really wonderful, powerful, personal, funny, shallow sometimes. But that's kindness. They're all really good, and I'm not there to judge people. I'm there to.
So, Jed, give us your 2 minutes on kindness. What is kindness to you?
I can talk for hours, but I'll try and give you 2 minutes. I'm quite good at talking. As most people who know me will agree, they'll all laugh. Kindness to me has always been the most important. Kindness is definitely to yourself. Today, there's a lot of pressure on people to perform and to be who they are not. And that's from the bottom of us. People are quite harsh. We've all done it. I've been harsh on myself as well when I think about my life. We all have periods of life where we're really too harsh on ourselves. Being kind to yourself is really important, because that means you can relax and be who you are. Being who you are is really important. And that's not easy to say. You mentioned briefly about masks, and I accept totally. We all have a mask that we live with and that we take out on the street. Underneath, we're all the same, and the more that you can open up, the more you can talk honestly. And it's not easy for some people. We're not all used to talking, and there are issues and private issues that you may wish to keep yourself. It's fine, but the more you are able to open up, the better. Looking after yourself is important, but then the second part is kindness is something that costs you nothing. It's easy to do. And connections, again, connections are really important to me. Connections are wonderful things in life. They do change your life. They bring you a comfort that you'll get nowhere else. It doesn't matter how much you earn. It doesn't matter how clever you are, how bright. I've always said my life is simple. And I've always striven to have a simple life. But I've got a very privileged life as well. I'm very aware of that. But I do work hard to keep things simple. And I'm really comfortable with that. I used to have a big fancy Mercedes car. And I came home one year and I thought, I've only got that. And I sold it and I bought this Citroen Saxo and I loved the car from the moment I got it. And people couldn't believe that I could enjoy and love this car. It's a really old car.
I'm really about simplicity too. And I think the less clutter you have in your life, I mean, if people like luxury, go ahead and love your luxury. I'll never knock that. However, learn to be simple in the things that you have and not over-cluttering our homes and our spaces, even our wardrobe, keeping that as simple as possible. Because then up here, there's more space and more clarity for the real things in life, the magic in life.
Yeah.
We would not have met and clicked and connected if my brain was cluttered with. In that moment, I had a meeting to get to, but in that moment, I was drawn to your energy, and I had to know what Jed is all about.
I think it's the kilt. The kilt's gone a long way to draw people to me, I agree. But I do understand. Yes.
But actually, I was telling my friend Daphne afterwards when we left, I said it was the kindness in your eyes and your smile that I knew you were being genuine. And I wanted to know more. So for me, it was a no-brainer.
I'd like to think there's truth in that, because I've had a very, very lucky life. And I say lucky as a policeman. I was really lucky in the police. I never got assaulted. I never hit anybody. I never used my baton. I never used my CS gas. And I worked in a tough area. And I've travelled a lot, and I've been in lots of situations where people are getting excited. My favourite thing for calming things down, even abroad, is, what is this, the mafia? Everyone understands mafia throughout the world, and that normally works in calming officials and people down. I hope you're right. I think that's why I've been able to travel so well. I've never had an issue with anyone. It's really important to be calm, and I'm pretty good at that. Police help that a lot. You need to make a connection with the person, and I'm used to dealing with people who maybe are angry, upset, frustrated. It's a real knack, and that's probably been developed in the kids, I think. And it's helped me travelling with, even when you can't communicate in the same language. Because sadly, I only speak English, although I am taking Arabic lessons, and I love them. I'm learning Arabic, so Mahaba. Anna Jed is me Scotlandy, and I love the group I'm with. They're so diverse. They're a wonderful, wonderful group. If everybody in the world could make connections with different cultures and races and religions the way I have been able to do, the world would be such a much safer place. Fear is an awful thing that destroys so much today. Newspapers, TV, governments use it. All governments use fear for their policies, and that's really annoying for me, to say the least. But they all seize opportunities to instill fear into populations, and they believe it, because they haven't got the advantage that I've had to travel the next 7 years. It goes back to what I really truly believe. We are all the same. We are all the same. And that includes the native in a village that speaks probably 5 languages. And that's what there's always surprises. The Catholic lady I met in Sudan wearing a hijab, I asked her why she was in hijab, and then she told me she was Catholic. So my presumption she was Muslim was wrong. Wonderful moments that you never forget.
People are full of surprises, and we did touch on this before, that walking down the street, you can make any assumption you wish about another human being. And not everyone wears a solid mask, but we all do have our masks in terms of functioning in daily life. And in some ways we need them. We need to leave a little bit of our story behind in order to function. Yet, as soon as we develop, or we can open ourselves up to having these deep connections, like you said, it could be 5 minutes, 15 minutes, opening up and understanding that the person sitting in front of me is feeling and thinking in probably fundamentally very similar ways to me, has life experiences that I can either relate to or would be honored to hear and know more of. And that's what happened with our interaction earlier when we talked about depression and suicide and topics that really affect people at their core.
So many people. It's, let me pause there for a minute. So,
while you pause, I'll just share with everyone that these topics that I just shared is really deep and touching issues. It is definitely part of my mission going forward. It's part of why I share my spoken truth. We all have a truth to share behind the facade, let's say. I may have met Jed because he was killed, but there's something definitely deeper and much more profound in the sharing that you were meant to give me. And I was very surprised today, as you were probably surprised with my own story. And we shared our stories of loss, me having lost my husband 4.5 years ago, and you having lost your wife. And they may have passed from different illnesses. However, what we did find as a common, especially with what my friend was sharing with me in the middle of the night, her best friend suddenly passing from committing suicide, is there is a deep sadness resonating in a lot of souls. Yeah. Deep sadness.
Yeah, I lost my wife 8 years ago, and it's a grief that I'll never go. People think you're recovering. And you do, life is on, and I know my wife would want me to continue my life and enjoy it if that's when it worked out. But it was the most tragic thing that's ever happened to me, and it will be with me for the rest of my life. And I can celebrate her life because we had a wonderful, wonderful time together. I met her when I was 11 at school.
Oh my goodness, so I didn't know that.
It was a real childhood sweetheart. She was
that
very
exists.
Beautiful. Yes, and she had lots of boyfriends, and eventually we got married, and the rest of the history. But it was very, very special, and she was a very, very special lady. And she was a very gentle lady that probably gave too much to everybody in her life. She taught me a lot. And loss, after dealing with a loss like that, I truly believe that I can cope with anything that comes along in life. It was a loss to everyone. Of course, we've all got grief, the whole family and everybody that you know grieves for. But it's a very, very different. One thing I feel, the difference between the West and when I travel, the West, there's so much pressure to perform and to perform at work and to achieve. It's a massive, massive pressure. When my wife died, I got rid of most of my belongings, decluttered. It was really therapeutic. It was so easy to do.
Don't you find that's part of the grieving process? Letting go.
And I was used to backpacking, and I know that I can travel and live with a backpack and no more. I don't need a washing machine. What we don't understand in the West is that all the possessions we have, they need maintenance, they need to find them, they need order. That all clutters up your life, definitely. That's what freedom's about when you travel. I'm back to a backpack soon, and I'm really comfortable with that. You just need a change of clothing. Nowadays you need battery packs and all the rest of it, and a phone, but I didn't have a phone when I first traveled. But then you go to other cultures where they have time. And in the West, a lot of people would talk to you and are kind, good people. But they have all the pressures of work and family and the commitments of my children. And all busy people, as a lot of people are today. But as soon as you get into Africa or another culture, incredible time for you. They will stop whatever they're doing and they will spend hours, not days, with you. And time doesn't matter to them. We could learn a lot. We could learn a lot from them. And of course, the poorer they are, I've met some families who have very, very little, incredible, absolutely incredible, to share their life and to realise how little you really need in life. The connections are really important in life. And they, you know, I've never really thought about all these connections, but that's coming more and more to the fore. Connections are really important. This journey I've had so far has been fantastic. It's been wonderful. And of course, it's changing. Well, let's talk about Julia.
You can tell us about Julia. You can.
The plan's changed now, so I'm ditching my car here and I'm going to pick Julia's car up and drive that back to Cape Town for her, which you know, I just see as an act of kindness for me and her, because we made the connection. And I can't wait to get into Cape Town and to give Julia a big hug again, even though I only met her for 15 minutes a year ago.
You met her for 15 minutes and you're doing a huge favour for her.
Well, she's doing a favour for me, because I'm saving all the bureaucracy and the paperwork and the money shipping my car over to Africa. So it was meant to be, I think, and it all just falls into place. When you retire, as I am, this is the way you should live your life. You should seize the opportunities, leave yourself open, and that means you don't sit at home watching TV. Get out and be involved, volunteer. This is a really good thing. I volunteer for the British Red Cross. I love it, it's very important to me. Meet amazing people, and it's a good balance on your life. Reading all the doom and gloom in the newspapers and listening to the leaders we have in the world today. You need to go and see the people that are making a difference to people's lives. That inspires you and gives you a real positive impact on your life. So that's how I feel about it. And I've had a fantastic journey. The journey here has been so easy. Africa will be a little bit different, I think. But you'll find out if you follow the blog.
We will follow your blog, we will follow your Instagram, and I'm going to help you with
so
that a little
Instagram,
bit, because
I don't understand Instagram. It looks really good, but I think I've got enough of the blog, but I'm getting there slowly. Maybe by the time I finish the trip,
we'll
I'll
help
know.
You link them all together, because you're a fabulous person, and I'd love for you to keep sharing your story, and I really want you to enjoy your journey.
Oh, I will. I will, regardless of what happens, I will look.
Enjoy your sense of freedom.
Yes. And that's what I would say to other people. If you have the opportunity to do something that's a bit scary, and I've had this for 3 years actually. A couple of years ago, I was like a challenge. So I was a dancer to Sir Robert. I was like Mr. Bean for a year. But I loved it. Last year's is speaking Arabic. Next year's is play a musical instrument, although I play nothing, but I'm thinking of a chanter for a pipe, bagpipes.
Okay.
So that's a really good thing. A challenge that scares you a little bit is good for your health and for your head. And so I'd encourage anyone, as soon as you have the time, look for a challenge that scares you. Go for it.
Well, maybe they can comment on this video so everyone can get involved and let us know what your life challenge will be. Because definitely it helps you grow, helps you expand. You meet new networks of friends, which is... I think one of the biggest delights in life is happiness. You mentioned kindness, and I'll mention happiness, even if they're just short bursts and moments of happiness throughout our day.
Yes, I agree.
As this was for me.
It was a pleasure meeting you.
Likewise.
Yeah,
thank you so much. Yes, it was more than okay. And we're going to link up the My Spoken Truth Instagram and Facebook, and we'll be on iTunes. This will go on YouTube, so you can follow us everywhere.
Wow.
And through that, you can also follow Jed on his journey. I was calling it You're on a Mission of Kindness. That was one of the hashtags
that's
I gave
the way it's turned out, yes, and that's been really popular. I've got lots of languages, lots of cultures, and that is the whole idea. And I want to, by the time I get to Africa, to have covered most of the globe with all the cultures that I meet. And they've all got that same message. Everyone understands kindness.
Absolutely.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.